You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Good morning and welcome to the Roto Experts Weekend Morning Show. Got that little update, that little promotion here. No Mike Blewett this morning. Mike is taking the day off to celebrate Easter with his family. Maybe he's off the church. Maybe he's doing all that good stuff. I guess I'm going straight to hell as I'm not going to church today. I'm here instead. I'm working. I don't know what you're laughing about, Matt Modica. You're pretty much going to hell, too. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Happy Easter, and I'll join you on the ride to hell.
That's right. It's a nice ride. We're all going to hell. Yeah, there'll be no church in my future today. Me and church. I'd probably turn to salt if I walked into a church anyway. So what are your plans today, Matt?
After today's show, I will pick up my Jeep from the parking lot and head to Staten Island to celebrate Easter with Mama.
Yeah, I'm not heading to Staten Island, but I'm doing the same thing, heading out to about Nassau County to celebrate with Mommy and the family there as well. Looking forward to it. Always good to get together with family. And there'll be baseball to be watched today.
Yeah, baseball, even some hockey playoffs in the afternoon.
Yes, that's why I'm a Yankee fan. No, Yankees don't play till tonight, so I'm not sure I'll still be there for them. But there'll be certainly some hockey playoffs in the afternoon to watch, whatever TV I can get my hands on. So it's a pretty good sports weekend, Matt.
Yeah, that it is. Even the NBA, the NHL, we've gotten some really good playoff games. Unfortunately, Friday night's game wasn't good for me, but otherwise, it's really been exciting. I think what the Toronto Maple Leafs are doing up there versus the Washington Capitals has been pretty impressive.
Yeah, you can make an argument they should be up 2-0. You know, they won yesterday in double overtime, and then the game one, they had a 2-0 lead early, but before squandering it and losing 3-2. And this is the Capitals' little bugaboo here that they struggle once they reach the playoffs here. So maybe Washington turns it around, maybe not.
Yeah, this is their year. They got to really take advantage of it.
Agreed. And we will talk more hockey later on. We are going to get into some hockey talk here. No, Mike Blue, and I can talk hockey, damn it. But we'll do that during the 9 o'clock hour for you and Pete Contadori, two Ranger fans, as an Islander fan. Well, let's face it, that organization has a lot of work to do, to put it nicely. But we're here to talk baseball. How's it going so far in baseball for you, Matt?
I mean, so far it's been good. The pitching yesterday was one of those days where, like, you're really excited. You got a bunch of guys going, a lot of top end guys, and unless you had Chris Sale or like James Paxton, it really wasn't a good day. Oh, Jacob DeGrom as well. You can throw in there.
Yeah, DeGrom didn't get you a W there, but DeGrom pitched well also. Sale has been pretty much dominant. I admit, watching the game, I don't have any shares of Chris Sale. And I think it was the top of the eighth inning, and they had first and second, nobody out, and Sale's not in. I'm like, score a run. Take that win away from him, too. That's what we do in fantasy. It's nothing to do with the Yankees and Red Sox. I just didn't want to see Sale get the win because I don't have any shares of him. Why help somebody else out? So it was a long day of baseball yesterday. Yesterday was a great day for me, Matt, because I'm doing the show. My wife tells me, well, she doesn't tell me, she writes down to me that she's taking the kids to the city. And this is fantastic.
Open house.
And even my niece ends up, her boyfriend is back from college, so she leaves too. I had the house to myself all day yesterday.
That's a wonderful thing.
It's a rare thing. And all I did all day was watch baseball, you know, watch hockey when it was on. It was a really nice day, and I enjoyed my day. Unfortunately, my fantasy teams didn't enjoy it as much as I did, but still, it was a nice day.
What did you think of that Yankee game? There was, that Carlos Martinez box score was pretty amazing.
It was. I'll tell you, watching the game was kind of painful because it was either a walk or a strikeout for the first couple of innings. That's all he was doing. And I think literally the first seven batters, maybe even the first eight batters, either walked or struck out. If he could have controlled, he could have gotten that ball over the plate. It could have been a really interesting outing for Martinez. What a shock. He would have struck out 15, 16 guys there because the Yankees were not on him at all. But his control was just – and this wasn't the umpire. You know, sometimes we say the umpire is the strike zone like of a cereal box. You know, and it's that small. This wasn't the umpire. Martinez was all over the place, and he knew it. I think the Cardinals knew it as well. So it was an interesting outing, and I do own quite a few shares of Martinez. So it was a frustrating outing, to say the least. It's his whip took a beating.
Yeah, that was the whip. 12 base runners and 5 1/3 is going to hurt you. That is definitely going to hurt.
I think it's actually worse. Yeah, I mean, the 11 strikeouts, we like that. We need Ks, but that's all he got. Yeah. You know, the whip wasn't good. ERA was okay. He only gave up a couple of Yankees for the second night in a row. Could not get the big hit to really knock the starting pitcher out. They had the same problem Friday night against Waka. So they saved him. They definitely saved him. Martinez, this is two bad starts in a row because he struggled last time with Cincinnati as well.
Yeah, I mean, the game against Cincinnati, that was kind of shocking. It was like they switched roles. Scott Feldman pitched like Carlos Martinez, and Carlos Martinez pitched like Scott Feldman last Sunday. But I mean, if I own Carlos Martinez, I'm very excited. I think the walks yesterday is, I mean, 8 walks is inexcusable, and that was one of my problems I had with him coming into the year before spring training. I was like, you know what? The strikeouts went down. The walks went up. And I was really high on him the year before. So I was a little nervous about that, and I was a little hesitant. But watching him in spring training, the WBC, I mean, the velocity was popping. Everything looked like it was coming together for him. So you just got to be a little patient, and I think it's really going to pay off.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not all that worried about Martin. It's a little frustrating. Especially if they had the dominant opening night. And he was great against the Cubs, really good in the, before O blew that win for him. And to see his last two games struggling against weaker offenses, it's definitely disappointing some.
Yeah, I mean, on the flip side, I mean, as a Yankee fan, what is your take on CC Sabathia? I mean, this is like 11 starts now dating back to last year where, I mean, his ERA is like just above 2. And yesterday he was getting some strikeouts. I mean, the ground ball, the flyouts, once again, 7-3. I mean, he's had a ground ball percentage of like 53%. So, I mean, what do you take away from this?
I don't know. And that was probably my next question for you as well with CC is, when do we start to believe that CC is, you know, that he's figured it out? CC used to be a power pitcher. We all know that, throwing the ball 95+. Now, he lost that ability 3-4 seasons ago. And it took him a long time to figure out how to pitch without being able to throw that. You look at his 2013 ERA is 4.78, 14, 5.28, 15, 4.73. You can see during those three seasons, he struggled. He kept throwing high fastballs, and at 90 miles an hour, those fastballs are going 400 feet. You know, and he struggled. Put it nicely, he struggled. Even his whip was struggling up there. It was around 1.48, 1.42, 1.3. It's bouncing all over the place, and the 1.4 is not good. Last year, the whip still wasn't great at 1.32, but the ERA became under 4. This season, it's obviously a small sample sizes, but it's 1.47, and he's not giving any free passes either. He's down to 1.04 on the whip. He's moving the ball in and out. He's using his arms. He's actually throwing slower and slower. You know, he's learned how to really, if I can have my fastball at 90 and the curve at 78, that's good. If they're under 70, I can throw it at 75, and he's getting some weird swings. Guys aren't barreling up the ball a whole bunch. So I want to believe, but if CC's on your waiver wire, he probably is. He's on quite a few waiver wires. Are you going out and grabbing him this week?
You know what? I think it's time to take a chance on CC. I mean, I really do. I've been hesitant. But he, like you said, he's changed his game. And to see him consistently, you know, getting ground balls, I mean, this was a guy that I could have never imagined him turning into like Jamie Moyer. But, I mean, it was a long progression. Let's not get it wrong. You stated the years and the ERAs and the whips. But we have a sample size dating back to last August, like the middle of August, where things started to click and results have happened. I mean, if I pick him up, am I going to be that trusting of him? Absolutely not. If things go wrong immediately or shortly thereafter, he's gone.
Yeah, he'd be a strange person to trust because, you see it, you know he's hittable. You know, if the team is on him that day, they're going to hit him hard. And the Cardinals are really – have you watched the Cardinals at all this season?
Yeah, the Cardinals look very lost, very dysfunctional.
Yeah. This is not the Cardinals we're used to. They're playing some Little League baseball out there, throwing the ball around. Yadier Molina, I know they just said that 3-year, $60 million, $20-plus million a year, which I thought was crazy for a 34-year-old catcher. And all you're seeing from him, I mean, Friday and Saturday is pass balls and errors. I don't know what to think of this Cardinals team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I saw you tweet out something about Yachty. I think it was yesterday, and I agree. I mean, as much as great as he's been, and he even in the WBC, he looked reborn. I know the second half of last year, the average was like, you know, 365, but he had like a BABIP close to 400. But, I mean, they're basically paying him for the past and just, I guess, you know what, you've been a Cardinal, this is, you know. Because I don't get it neither. At 34 years old, a 34-year-old catcher getting a three-year deal seems very suspect to me. I think the Cardinal, I'm going to base this on past Cardinals, just the franchise itself. I think they straightened the ship out. It's been a class act. It's run very well. Going through a little turbulations right now, but it's still early. I mean, I know we keep saying this, but it's a point that needs to be pounded on. You know, 1 5-game winning streak and life is different. Look at the Yankees. They were, what, like 1-4? Now they've won like 6 games in a row?
Yeah, I mean, it is, I agree with you. It's early to really worry about records. But when you're playing awful baseball, that's the problem. Losing is one thing. But when you're just playing awful, and we're just so not used to this with the St. Louis Cardinals. We're talking about a mild franchise. You play the way you should play, and they just look awful. I mean, they look like they're playing September baseball, and they've been eliminated from the playoffs.
No, you are correct. And, I mean, they got dealt a really bad blow early on with the Alex Reyes news. That really hurt them because he was a guy that, you know, as young as he was, they really needed to rely on him. But they do have some they do have talent down below. I mean, they do have some young people. Arms like Luke Weaver, I know a lot of people were excited about. He's a guy to keep on your watch list. If he gets a call, you should be interested. And they have what was surprising, too, about the Yachty contract is they have a really good catcher in the minor leagues. So maybe this guy becomes trade bait to fill up some other holes, maybe shore up the rotation or something like that.
I agree with you. I think that was probably the biggest shot. Yeah, listen, you don't give a 34-year-old catcher $20 million a year. That's not going to work out for you. And I don't care how good or great Yachty has been. And you mentioned he had a very good WBC. I very much doubt he's lost it within a two-week period. But one thing we see from the Yankees this weekend, they're not afraid to run on him either. And not only once they say, oh, they're stealing it off the pitcher. All right, that's fine. They probably are stealing it off the pitcher. But he's bouncing his throws to second base. That arm, maybe he's going through a dead arm period. You know, fielders go through it as well. But his whole game just looks off right now. And I think that's the biggest surprise for me. The catcher you mentioned, that one of their top prospects is Carson Kelly. And you're right. You have to think right now. If you're Carson Kelly, you're so disappointed because you're not playing in St. Louis for 3 more, not as a starter anyway, for 3 more seasons. You would have to think that he's trade bait.
Yeah, that's going to be that perked up to me once I saw that contract get signed. And you know what? For the Cardinals, they kind of always seem to figure it out. I mean, as disastrous as things have been, as a guy that invested in Matt Carpenter, I know the back issues, and he hit his first home run this weekend. So hopefully he gets the ball rolling. And, you know, I'm not going to get too crazy. I know, like I say, as bad as they looked. I mean, I'm more angry about last night's Met loss. And I really don't blame that on the relief pitcher.
Mets have played, what, 6 straight one-run games right about now?
Yeah, the Mets are, they always keep it interesting, put it that way. It's always an interesting night when being a Met fan.
Well, hey, at least the Mets will, you know, I don't think we ever play, Mike Blue is the normal host of the show. I don't think Mike ever asked us who's going to make the playoffs? Who's going to make the playoffs in the National League? Give me a division winners for each team in your wild card team.
Okay. In the East, I think Washington, I'm going to give Washington the edge right now because I do believe they're going to go out and rectify that bullpen. In the Central, it would be the Cubs. I have the Dodgers winning the West. I mean, I don't think it's going to be – I know some of the Vegas and Dakota projections had them winning handily. I think that's going to be more of an interesting race than people believe. But so those would be my three right there. I think the Mets will make a wild card. I mean, I think they're going to, if it came down to the middle of the season and they have to make another move, as cheap as the Wilpons are, I think they will make that move to to get them over the hump. I think the San Francisco Giants just have too much. I think they have too much pitching. And they're another team that figures it out. They're like the West Coast Cardinals. You know, they have a they're very well run. And they're a team that, you know, usually does the right thing, and their fans have been rewarded.
Well, I'm going to be pretty boring here. I actually agree with you. You know, I'm 5-for-5 with you in the exact same order. Mets, Giants, wild card, same three division winners here. So, wow, so much for that talking point, as we agree there. And how about the American League?
The American League. You know what? I mean, I even without David Price, Boston's just – I mean, Boston has too many good players on the major league roster. And that minor league system, is, even though they've traded away some of their top-tier talent, there's still a lot of good guys down there. And they can basically go get whatever they need. Even if, I mean, all the news on David Price so far has been very good. He pitched a bullpen recently. That was good. And I just don't think the teams in the American League East can, when push comes to shove, can match up with them. Toronto, I believe, will at some point start hitting. Their pitching isn't that bad neither. So I would say Toronto's their biggest threat, but I think it's Boston in the East. Cleveland is everybody's pick to pretty much get back to the World Series. That division besides Detroit, and Detroit, it's still everything has to break right for them to challenge them. I mean, otherwise, I'm not a believer in, you know, they got the White Sox, the Twins. I think the Royals are headed for a down year. So Cleveland there. The West is where it's really interesting. I'm going to go with Houston. I think Houston has stacked their farm system. They're going to make a trade for that pitcher. I don't know if they soured on Jose Quintana. I don't believe they would. I don't think anybody should be souring on him just yet after three starts. So I think Houston's going to get that arm they need. I think their position, they know it's their time. And pretty much the wild card, I kind of thought Detroit would do it, but I'm kind of thinking it's going to be Texas. It's going to be Texas would be my first. It's between Detroit and Seattle. And you know what? Maybe I just want to see Seattle, so I'll say Seattle.
Wow, once again, we're on par here. I had Boston. I have Boston winning the East. Always had them, so I'm not going to change there because of the Price injury. I agree with you about Toronto being one of the wild card teams. So that's what I'm not going to change the answer because they started off. What are they, 2-9, or whatever silly record they have? I assume they'll turn it around, and their pitching's better than the other teams. Cleveland, I thought they wins a walk in the Central there. Detroit maybe competes, but that bullpen is terrible. And the starting rotation after Verlander and Fulmer isn't much better. I do have Houston winning the West, and I have Seattle. It's a team I've been on all year anyway, getting the wild card. Texas, I think, will make some noise there. It could come down to whichever team makes the better midseason acquisition to strike themselves or which team stays healthier. Maybe Seattle gets out of this funk they've been in early going, too. They're starting to hit better now, so those are my predictions as well. And just before we go to break here, who's your World Series teams?
I mean, it's kind of boring, but I really do think we're going to –
I'm saying it too. Go ahead.
You know what? I'll just change it up. I've pretty much been saying Cleveland, but let's say Houston versus the Cubs.
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Really don't for Houston to get there. But I have where you were starting to head to is what I have. I have a rematch of Cleveland and the Cubs again. I think they are the two best teams. And listen – it'll be a great – this won't, it'll never work out. And no one will ever remember these predictions. That's the greatest thing about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, that is.
So it won't matter. But we'll be back on this Easter Sunday with Matt Modica and George Kurtz right after this. Good morning and welcome back to the Roto Retro's Weekend Morning Show. I'm George Kurtz in for Mike Blewett this morning. Mike is not with us today. I guess he had better things to do than talk baseball with you. So it's George and Matt Modica. We'll be here with you until 10 a.m. I believe at 10 a.m. it's Tony Sincotta and Chacha talking fantasy baseball and bagels or whatever they do. And Chacha's going to punch a bagel-sized hole in Tony's head. I mean, right, if Tony likes English smoke. You know, you don't like English muffins over bagels, do you, man?
No. I do enjoy, though, the brunch burger at the Greenwich Street Tavern. It's on an English muffin with an egg on top of it, and it's probably my favorite burger in the city.
Sounds healthy.
It's good though, you know.
Oh no, it sounds good too. Man, I think my my cardiologist might have a heart attack. Listen, if anybody wants to call, anybody got fantasy questions, wants to check on Matt's cholesterol, call 1-844-84-FNTSY. Like I said, we're here till 10 o'clock answering any and all questions. You can reach me on Twitter at George Kurtz. I don't make it that hard. And Matt, where can the people find you?
Pretty simple, at CTM Baseball.
At CTM Baseball for Matt Modiker. And like I said, we're here to answer all your fantasy baseball questions. Hey, you got an early football draft? You're Corey Parson. You're already drafting right now before the NFL draft where we know what's going on. You can feel free to hit us up about that too. Even fantasy hockey playoffs. Now, I'm in a couple of fantasy hockey playoff leagues. I'm in three of them, actually. So, and all three different types. One was just a draft. One was you pick one player from 16 teams. One player each from 16 teams. As they go on, you get points. As they get eliminated, you don't get anything. And the other one was more convoluted, where you actually had to pick. Everybody was giving you choices of a winger one, pick one of these six guys. Winger two, one of these six guys. And they were all different in each one. So it was interesting. First time I had played in a system like that. But so yeah, some in three playoff hockey pools as well.
Yeah, I wish I kind of did like a bracket challenge. I think Gabe was doing one. I meant to get in with it, but I did not.
Yeah, fantasy hockey, it lasts too long. And the playoffs and for hockey are going to go, what are we in? We're in mid-April now.
Yeah.
It's going to late June, folks.
Yeah, we have plenty of time. But honestly, I love it so much. I know you do. So, unfortunately, yeah, for people like Scott Engel that don't, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, teach their own. I don't get it. He likes his NASCAR. He likes his cars going round and round in a circle, trying to make a lot of left-hand turns. That's fine. Like I said, to each their own. Hey, go for it. But I am a little surprised that someone who likes Scott, likes football, baseball, wouldn't like hockey. I mean, it has everything you want. It's violent. There's action. I mean, yes, it's tough to follow the puck if you don't watch the game consistently. But listen, that's your fault. We'll get back to baseball here. All right.
Could we jump to the Met game real quick before? I mean, just so I can rant a little on get a little frustration out.
I like rants.
Hey, look, Fernando Salas last night. I mean, first let's start with Jacob DeGrom. The guy had two bad pitches the whole game. He had those back-to-back homers. I mean, he had a couple of innings where he struck out the side. He racked up 13, tying a career high. 19 of his 21 outs came via the strikeout or the ground out. I mean, DeGrom so far is pretty much everything I had hoped for, whether I drafted him in the fifth round earlier on or paid up the second round price. And I'm really not worried about the injury. I know somebody on Twitter was telling me, well, if he would have came out and pitched 110 pitches. Look, the surgery he had, they cleaned it out. Ron Darling had it. He said it was no big deal. He was ready for spring training. He had it 2 months later. So I'm very, very encouraged with DeGrom. Because even the previous start he had, he did not have his best stuff. But he buckled down. And that's one thing that DeGrom has done consistently throughout his career. Even when he doesn't have his best stuff, his ability to keep his team in the game and just be a warrior and compete is something I truly love. So the Mets had the lead going into the eighth. I can't, you know, Fernando Salas comes in. And as I've said, he's really been fantastic for the Mets. But that 16-inning game the other night, you know, stress both teams out. The bullpens have been beaten down. So he pretty much last night was his fifth inning in four nights. And after he throws that four-pitch walk, he really should never have faced Christian Yelich. Because what we've seen later in the inning, after giving up the back-to-back homers, Jerry Blevins comes in, number one, which is like, why wouldn't you just put him in there to face Yelich? Or have Addison Reed get a four-out save. He's your closer right now. He's coming off of a great season. Why are you putting Salas in this position? And it's just Terry Collins. I think he's a nice man. He's had a long journey. He got there. And I don't really want to hate on him except for like what he does with Michael Conforto. And he just can't manage the bullpen. He just does not know how to use it correctly. He never has. I mean, if they could just strip that duty from him and have Dan Wortham manage it, I'd feel so much better. But I do not blame Salas for it. I put that on the shoulders of Terry Collins last night. I had to get that out of my system.
Wow. Listen, I agree with you. I think the problem in baseball for a lot of managers is managing the bullpen. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of guys have any clue on how to do that. Listen, I think we all think that managing is easy sometimes, but there's a lot going on during a game. I think sometimes it gets away from them about what they should be doing with the bullpen. I sort of agree with you. I know in football, I've thought for a long time here that a head coach should almost have somebody who's just in charge of clock management.
Didn't the Jets have that back in the day, like Dick Girl or something was his name?
I think teams have probably had it, but not really had it.
That was when Herm Edwards was the coach. I know they had somebody because he was so terrible with the clock.
You see, I mean, Andy Reid is a great head coach, but when it comes to clock management, is horrific. Just horrific. And I'm not trying to get off on a tangent here about football. What I'm trying to say is I think the same thing in baseball, where you should have a guy whose really sole responsibility is the bullpen. To know how can a guy pitch that day? How far can he go? Oh, you got to get a left-hander going up here. Oh, this guy's good against left-handers. You know, Yelich is terrible against, you know, all the stats you need to know in this day and age when it comes to your bullpen. And, you know, you could have 7-8 guys in your bullpen. There's a lot of stats to know for each player. So I don't understand why you couldn't have a coach who's, I'm not saying his sole responsibility, but that's his number one job, the bullpen.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that's, you know, maybe something we will see at some point. I mean, like Bruce Bochy has kind of mastered it, and what he was able to do with the bullpen that he had for years with the Giants, that's been totally revamped this year. But he had that same mix of guys, and except for like Sergio Romo when he was at his peak. I mean, none of those arms were like truly elite caliber arms and stuff. He just used a lefty matchup with, I'm trying to remember the guy's name, Javier Lopez, and then like the Jeremy Atfeld types. I mean, Santiago Casilla hung around there forever. So, I mean, look, it's very difficult. And you are 100% correct, George. I mean, you say we sit at home and we always know best. I mean, every fan thinks they are infallible. Look at that, getting that word in on Easter Sunday. But every fan thinks that they always know what's best. And that's truly not the case. And in high-pressure situations, you are going to make mistakes.
Infallible. Yeah, you went to the Mike Blewett word of the day calendar there. Mike uses much words that are much more involved and infallible. I think Mike does have a word of the day calendar at home that he just brings it to the radio show. Like I said, I don't understand why your teams can't do that. It is a mistake. I mean, I'm the Yankee fan. We see Joe Torre killed Scott Proctor back in the day. Seriously, just put him in a pine box. And we see Girardi, how he uses his top relievers, and Betances and Chapman. Some managers are slaves to the save. I mean, you saw it the other day with Chapman. He came in, the Yankees had like a 4 or 5-run lead. But it ended up being a save opportunity because whichever reliever, I think it was Holden, put a couple of runners on base. Chapman has to be in there. And then what happens? You didn't have him yesterday because you used him in a 5-run game. You know, and they ended up winning the game yesterday, but Clipper had certainly made it interesting. It's something I don't agree with. And the way he uses Betances in the same situation. Oh, we're up 7-1 in the ninth, but, you know, with 2 outs, the guy put 2 runners on base. Put Betances in. Then you wonder why in September he's dying.
Well, yeah, I think I think we have more to touch on this. And, you know, after the break, I think we just nailed this down.
Yeah, we'll be back after the break. We're spending Easter with you here on Easter morning. Matt Modica, George Kurtz, Pete Considori behind the glass, and we'll be back after this. Oh, as Mike Blue would say, slow jams. Our 7:30 a.m. slow jams. We try to put you to sleep here as the best we can, or at least get you back to bed. Maybe you woke up early. You know, you're like, what am I doing up at 7:30 in the morning? I think when I get out of bed, my wife stares at me like, you're nuts. To get up this early, but hey, we're used to it. Been doing this for a long, long time, so getting up early is not a big deal for me. Plus, I'd say it's Easter Sunday.
Yeah, and compared to yesterday when we had the death metal going on, it's a nice contrast.
Yeah, yesterday Pete was trying to wake you up. Today he's trying to put you to sleep. I guess Saturday more of a fun day, party day. He wants to get you out going there. Today he's just he's willing to give you a couple extra hours sleep. That's nice of Pete Considori.
that it is.
All right, so back to baseball here. Philadelphia and Washington yesterday. What did you think earlier this week when we all knew Yermán Gómez was going to lose his job, right? So that wasn't a big shock. But then the Phillies threw us all a curveball. We're not going to give it to Neris. We're going to try and save some money here. We'll keep his arbitration figures down when that comes up. We'll give it to Joaquin Benoit instead. As someone who owns Neris in a couple of leagues, and I drafted him because I knew this was happening, and I got him, you know, you got him at last round cheap. I was not happy about this, Matt.
I don't blame you for not being happy. I have zero Narashez, not because I do not like the arm. I thought maybe Gomez would keep the job for maybe a month. I mean, I didn't see this being working out long term. And I've talked about it with Corey and Greg, who were on Team Genma for some reason, but that quickly came to an end. I just had, you know, the threat of Benoit, and the fact that they paid him already for a team that's not going to win right now. You know, why make Neres more expensive? We've seen what happened with Dylan Betances. He lost that arbitration case because he didn't have saves. He's been one of the most dominant relievers. But the fact that, I mean, it's asinine how the arbitration works. But, I mean, in the current climate, if you get saves, you get paid. If you don't have saves, you don't get paid.
Yeah, it is asinine how the arbitration works. Yes, let me knock my own player and say what his deficiencies are. That makes no sense. I also think there's a case where the Phillies, I think they're being realistic. They know they're not going to compete this year. Right, they're not going to a playoff. You didn't pick it for the wild card, so even they must know that. I don't think they're making the playoffs. So, I think what they're looking at here is, you know, if Benoit can pitch a couple of months, pitch solidly, get some saves, you know, just not pretty much not implode. Well, that's somebody else we can trade now. I'm not talking the Andrew Miller trade or the Aroldis Chapman trade from last year where they're getting top prospects back, but they'll get something back. You know, a contending team will need a setup guy. So if he's pitching well, that could be more prospects in their pocket.
No, that's true. And you know, like you said, they're going to take whatever they can get, you know, maybe try and package it if they have to, too. But the thing from yesterday's game that I take from is Jeremy Hellickson. I mean, the guy in 2016 that he was like one of my top three owned pitchers, only for the fact that I drafted him in every reserve round. And he panned out. He became, you know, it was a very successful year considering everything. And I kind of stayed away from him this year. I kind of do that. When I get guys really cheap, the following year, I don't like to pay for them for some reason. But he's really doing it again. I mean, it's only three starts, obviously. But from the body of work that we have, I'm kind of regretting that I didn't, you know, pay a little. You didn't have to pay a lot for him, but just pay a little for him because he's looking pretty good again.
He is. I think I thought he was very very smart in the offseason. Taking the qualifying offer for $16 million rather than trying to get a multi-year deal because he wouldn't have gotten the same AAV, average annual value. And I think teams would have felt like you, sort of. Oh, he had one good year, but he's pitching in Philadelphia or wherever he may not be as good. If he goes back to the American League, he might get wrecked again. So they weren't going to give him his higher contract, accepted the qualifying offer, accepted it quickly, got his $16 million. He has another big season. He can build off that again. I'm also like you. I didn't want him as much this year either, but for the same reason, because now I would have had to pay for him. Not pay a high price, but maybe pay more than I was comfortable with paying, and maybe that just tells you in the back of my mind that I didn't believe either.
Yeah, it's always a difficult thing. And his teammate now, I think, is the classic case for why you take the qualifying offer. Like Howie Kendrick turned it down the year before with the Dodgers and wind up, instead of getting like whatever, $16-17 million for 1 year, got like $20 million for 2 years. So that one did not work out for the player.
No, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I think we're going to see more players in the accepting these QOs, though. Because the QOs are going to keep getting higher. You know, with $16 million last year, I imagine it'll be around $18 million this year. And, you know, if teams are going to start to not give you those big multi-year deals, I think that's going to calm down, except for the elite free agents. I wonder if they're going to start accepting more and more of these. How do you feel about Tanner Roark? You know, he pitched a very good game yesterday as well. I understand only three strikeouts, so fantasy-wise didn't help you a whole bunch. But he's a guy that I personally don't think he gets enough love.
You know what? I'm coming around to the fact that you're right and I'm wrong. It's not that I hate him. I'm just – he's a guy kind of like in that Marco Estrada vein – maybe he's even better than Marco Estrada, but in that vein where they consistently outpitch their FIP and stuff, and he's been, he's been doing it. And at home, he's been pretty fantastic. And a guy that I'm just trusting more and more. Look, he's not going to be a lights-out pitcher for you, but he's a very effective pitcher. Pitching in anytime somebody pitches in the National League, and continues to have success, they really need to be on the radar and someone that, you know, you have to like.
Well, I think you sort of hit the nail on the head here about why I like him maybe more than others. National League. Yeah, he's facing the pitcher. You know, eighth place head is usually a waste of time as well. We know Nationals Ballpark, whatever they call it. I know Mike likes to bust my chops. I don't know any of these corporate names. But Nats Ballpark there is a pitcher's ballpark. I mean, I like Rourke a lot. He's not Strasburg, you know. He's not Scherzer or anybody like that. But still, I think he's better than your average pitcher.
Yeah, no, like I said, I'm coming around to that. I think I had him, like, coming into the year ranked around 51st or something like that among my starting pitchers. But I would have to say he's, you know, I think he's earned probably like a close to top 40, if not in top 40 for me.
I think it's about right, top 40. Like I said, that's what he is. He's not great. What are your feelings about Joe Ross, who's coming back to the rotation? Nats made a little snafu in spring training by sending him down to the minors, not realizing you can't call a player back for 10 days once you do that. And it's just kind of silly. I know that rule. I don't know how they could have screwed that up. The only way to get around that is if you place somebody on a DL, which they decided not to do. This led to the Jeremy Guthrie getting wrecked in his first start. But Joe Ross will be back on Wednesday. You going out and grabbing him?
In that league I mentioned yesterday where Ender and Ciarte is available, and like I said, there's a lot of jelly beans just to enter this league. So it doesn't always tell you that, you know, just because people put a lot of money up to make smart moves. The guy that dropped Ender and Ciarte also released Joe Ross. So, and he picked up like Clayton Richard and Mark Reynolds. I mean, it was really, really moronic moves, in my opinion. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be talking about this if somebody's listening, but I have to decide what I will be bidding on Ender and Ciarte and Joe Ross in the same league. Also available by the same player, he also cut Jed Jerko, who people might say, oh, Jed Jerko. Jed Jerko in a 15-team league is pretty valuable. So I don't know if I have any fab after this week.
Wow, so we're in Ciarte, Ross, and Jerko. Those guys have decent value in a 12-team league. More or less a fifth. I agree with you. I think there was our bad moves, to put it nicely. I'm a Ross believer. I like Joe Ross. I have him in at least a couple of leagues
what
there.
What would you bid on Joe Ross? If you were in a 15-team league, he comes available. You know he was only down there for that short term anyway. I know that first start was he pitched like two innings, but he just pitched seven innings, six strikeouts, no walks, one earned run. I'm a believer as well. I mean, what would you put up there?
Scott Engel likes to call me the ants expert. I think he likes to give everybody a nickname, so that's the nickname he's hung on me, that or Blue Line. And I get that because I answer a whole bunch. I answer probably 90% of the questions in the Roto Experts email answer queue. And I don't mind doing so. I kind of enjoy answering it. But one of the questions that is the hardest to answer is how much to bid on a player. Mainly because I don't know your league. I don't know how aggressive the owners are. I don't know. Is your league aggressive? Is it not aggressive?
This is an aggressive format. Like I said, there's no trading. I mean, the chances of getting a pitcher of Joe Ross's caliber, what he could be this season, are kind of slim and none. And maybe somebody else does, you know, miraculously appear. But I don't think you're going to get a better chance with a guy in the Nationals and who's had major league time.
Yeah, I think overall, it's a difficult question to answer because there's just so much that goes into a bid. You know, how many other teams need that player at that position? I understand a pitcher, pretty much everybody needs a pitcher, so people are going to be bidding on him. But when I get a question about a second baseman or a shortstop, listen, for all I know, everybody in your league is solid, rock solid at shortstop. They don't need one, so you don't have to bid much. But maybe your league, everyone needs that position, so everyone's going to be bidding. For Joe Ross, I mean, I'm a believer. That's the first thing. I like Joe Ross. I think he's going to be a good pitcher. I already said how much I like Nats Ballpark and all that, National League. If I needed a pitcher, I'm probably going to bid. I want him. I think that's what I'm trying to say. But I don't like to go overboard, not in April. How good is my staff? You know, is he going to be is he a bench player for me? Or is he, you know, a guy who's going to cover in case I get hurt? Or is he automatically in my starting lineup every week from here on out, assuming he starts for Washington? Well, these are all questions I have to answer.
Before you give me a bid price, even if he is, say right now, he's a bench player for you, but knowing how, like, the season's going to go and you know some of your pitchers are going to get hurt or who's just going to be awful, you know, even knowing that, I mean, you know the bid's got to be pretty high, though. So
Okay. Yeah, I'm betting at least 20%. I use percentages instead of amounts. I don't know. Some people go $1,000 fab. Some people have $100 fab. I've even seen $60 fabs in leagues. So I'm going at least 20% of my money, and I understand that may not get it done.
You know,
that's where I'm at with Joe Ross.
I think you're right. It's a $1,000 fab in these leagues. I think 20% is, you know, 20 to 25 is probably the, you know, I might get you somewhere. Might make you competitive, but I think it's going to cost even more than that.
Yeah, I think you're probably, if you want him, you're probably going to have to go, you may have to go to a third to make sure you get him. And I'd,
That's a tough ask 2 weeks into the season.
Right. That's a little painful right now.
I would love to have all three of these players that are available. So it's going to be.
So would I. I mean, none of them should be. I guess if I was going to put them in order, it'd be Ross and Ciarte, Jerko. But I always like to have outfielders on my team because we start five, they're going to get hurt. So you're going to need backups there. And I love Joe Ross. Jerko, I like him. But since he doesn't have a full-time job, he's the one guy I guess I could live without here. But as you said, 15-team league. These guys should all be owned. You don't see these. I play in 15-team leagues. You don't see these guys available on the waiver wire. I just don't.
How do you drop him, Joe Ross, for Clayton Richard? I think last night he actually had a decent start, maybe. I don't even, you know, but why? How? I don't get that. Maybe after the break, you can tell me why.
Especially in a deep money league, right? I mean, this is a competitive league where it's not like this is your fun home league. We play with idiots. I mean, you're playing with guys who know what they're doing. I can understand one of these moves. You know, a guy is just impatient, whatever, just angry at a play, whatever it might be, or just like somebody better. I have no problem with that, but all three would make me question what's going on here.
Yeah, no, it's, like I said, this is my first year in this league, like this, I stepped up to this one, and I'm just shocked.
Well, hey, good for you. Hopefully you get at least one of these guys, if not more than one here. Maybe you'll catch a break tonight. But I have a funny feeling in that league, Matt, you're not the only person whose eyes are wide open going, cha-ching,
that's what I know. That's all that's going to be on my mind till 10 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, so listen, Matt's going to have to bid a third of his fab to get one of these guys tonight. We're about a quarter done with this show, and we'll be back to finish up the first hour after this. Ooh, sounds like an old TV show, like maybe Batman back in the day.
Exactly.
Wham! Bam!
I used to love
Slam!
That show. I used to really love that show.
That was on like after school, right? You'd come home like 4 o'clock or whatever it was. You know, you watch that now, and you're like, what the hell was I thinking?
But this I have to say, Cesar Romero was a great joker. Burgess Meredith as the Penguin.
They were all good. The guy who played King Tut or whatever he was.
Exactly.
They were all good. Stay tuned tomorrow to see if Batman can figure his way out of this. I mean, it was really, really stupid. I think I had the biggest crush on Batgirl.
Yeah. She was a cutie.
She was cute, yeah. That back then, Batgirl definitely did it for me. But yeah, that was some good times back then to see. You know, if they might get put in the vat of molten lava or something like that.
Yeah, those cliffhangers.
Good times, though. Good times, indeed. You know, I feel bad, Matt. You know, it's Easter Sunday. You and I are here early. I know I mentioned Pete before, but Pete Considori, our producer, man behind the glass, man who runs the show, make sure we get things going smoothly. Pete, how are you doing this Easter morning?
Doing fantastic. How about you guys?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to see Pete's rocking the Ranger hat. And, you know, let's go Rangers today, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Let's go Rangers. Yeah, sure. What time do the Rangers play today, Pete?
7 o'clock p.m.
Oh, well, there is an afternoon game, right? I haven't checked the schedule yet.
There is an afternoon game. That afternoon game is the Wild versus the Blues at 3 p.m. The Penguins play the Jackets at 6, and then the late night game is the Oilers versus the Sharks.
And the Ranger game.
Yes. You said other than the Ranger game, so.
Yeah, I have to try and figure out what time I'm leaving mom's, like, probably like 6. I'm going to get there early, so maybe like 6-ish and try and not miss too much.
You can't watch the game at mom's?
Tomorrow morning I got to be up early. My wife actually has a flight tomorrow morning. Where the hell is she going for work? Forget. She just came back from that. She just came back from Nashville, but she's going. I think she's going to New Mexico tomorrow. Actually,
oh,
so the Modicas will be getting up bright and early.
So, Pete, what are you doing today, Pete?
After I leave here, I'm probably going to go to that Rangers Square thing that they opened up for today because it's, like, down the block. So I'll go there for a few, and then I'll go home and have Easter dinner. And then I'll probably just hang out and watch the games.
Games are good.
Yeah.
What is for Easter dinner?
That is a good question. I don't even think I know. I usually ask my mom, what are we having for dinner? And she usually tells me. But I think I just, with all the ruckus of coming here on the weekends and stuff, I forgot to ask. I'm going to be honest.
Matt,
I forgot,
how about you?
I forgot today was Easter for a little bit. And then.
Oh, yeah. You're going to hell, too, then.
Well.
You may be leading the charge.
I might be.
I do know what's on the menu. And my mom has a funny way of always asking me what I want her to make. And I tell her, and then she wants to make what she wants to make anyway. So, but she's going to be making some fusilli pasta with meat sauce and ricotta. And we will have some chicken in the oven with probably a salad on the side or something like that.
All right. That sounds good.
Yeah, no, I'm excited.
That's
mom's house, Staten Island. What time's dinner? 5?
No, it'll be earlier than that. I'm getting pretty hungry already. I even had a sausage egg muffin, and I'm still hungry.
Oh, see, I haven't eaten yet. I'm still not feeling – my appetite hasn't returned yet. But mom's making Italian diet. We're getting a chicken parm tonight, some veal parm.
Uh-huh, there you
plenty
go,
of
yeah.
pasta, some antipas, some shrimp. Life will be good at my mom's house tonight.
Anything
so,
parm is always
that.
Good.
Cheese, right? We all love cheese. Can't go wrong. You know, it's funny. You're speaking of how your mom asks you, what do you want, that she makes what she wants anyway. I don't have a story quite like that, but, you know, my wife asked me the other Friday night. She's going out shopping. And I asked her, are you going to any food places, you know, supermarkets, anything like that? She goes, well, yeah, probably. I'm like, listen, the only thing I need is some bread. And I had bought some roast beef, some turkey, some cheese, and I ran out of bread. I'm like, could you please just bring me home some bread? So she comes home. She, you know, took the kids with her. She comes home. She had 18,000 bags of all this other stuff. Guess what's the only thing she didn't buy?
No bread.
It's like, you know, why ask me if I need anything?
Maybe she was
anyway?
Observing the Passover. You can't have the carbs for a week. You know, no bread for the week.
Oh, God. You can't have meat on Fridays. You can't have bread. I mean, Christ. God, no. I think I had a nice roast beef sandwich on Friday. Probably two of them. So, I'm not too worried. But listen, why ask? Why ask me if you're not going to bring it home anyway?
I would have told my wife, you had one job. I don't know what her response would have been, but I would have said that.
It's funny, though. I just looked behind me to make sure she's not standing there with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
To make sure I'm going to get along. All right, anyway, speaking of baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays won a game yesterday.
Hip, hip, hooray.
I mean, it wasn't easy. They only scored 2 runs, and they had to blow a save in order to get that second run. Kenji Morales had the game-winning home run in the ninth inning here. What are we doing with the Blue Jays here, Matt? I mean, they're going to bounce out of it, right? We both had them making the playoffs.
I think they bounce out. Like I said, everything's gone wrong. The concerning part here is the Josh Donaldson situation. I think they're foolish if they don't take every precaution. Let this guy rest. If he's got to sit out the rest of the month or a little more, then so be it. I think guys like Morales, Bautista, Travis, even Tulowitzki. I mean, they do have guys that can hit. I mean, Russell Martin can contribute too. I think he's got like one hit on the year. But he'll be better than that. I mean, you got guys like Kevin Pillar that play fantastic defense. And their staff is one of the better. I mean, Liriano, that first game, got annihilated, but he showed you in his last start. Marcus Stroman, I think there's so much to like about him this season. Sanchez is better than what he showed the other day. You know, that they have one of the better staff, so I think that'll keep them involved the whole season.
I think so. You know, there was a stat, though. No team has ever made the playoffs that has started the season 1-9. Now, I get it. A lot of those numbers came before the wild cards, because they're 2 wild cards now, so that maybe skewer things a little bit. But still, it tells you it's a daunting task. You know, we're going to play a little game later called Practice of Patience with players. You bring up Donaldson. I'm panicking. I'm panicking big time. Did I say practice? I meant panic. I think this injury could – and when I say panic, I don't mean I'm releasing him. What I'm worried about is that this injury last all season long. This has been going on since last year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to be able to shake it in 10 days or even a month. So, yes, I am extremely worried about Josh Donaldson.
I think you're 100% right to be. I mean, it's a shame because he is one of the best guys in the game. You know, what he does at the plate is just so impressive. And as a fan of baseball, I want to see him healthy and out there.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, and I agree with you. I mean, we're all fans of baseball. Yes, I'm a Yankee fan, so technically I want to see Boston crash and burn. But I'm also a fan of the game. You know, I just go to Toronto plays the American League. That doesn't mean I want every other American League East team to suffer. Now, I don't own any shares of Donaldson. It's funny, in the mock drafts we did, I think I got Donaldson in every mock, but when it came to the real live drafts, he just didn't fall to me. So that's somewhat concerning there. And you wonder if it's affecting the whole Blue Jay offense here. You know, hey, we lost Encarnacion. He's on Cleveland. We lost Donaldson. You know, it's just I'm extremely concerned there. But, hey, like I said, there's nothing you can do. You can't trade him. We have 1 hour down, 2 hours left. Talking some more baseball. We'll talk DFS later on as well for today's people. Hope you're enjoying your very early morning Easter. Matt and George back after this.